Well, there were smiles, there were shamrocks, there were invitations. But despite the cheerful optics, Taoiseach Micheál Martin's meeting with Donald Trump came on the day when President Trump's trade tariffs kicked off in earnest and the EU announced a whopping 26 billion euros worth of tariffs on US imports in retaliation. The US president is sticking fast to his tariffs plan despite the impact on stock markets. Here's what he had to say about tariffs to reporters in the Oval Office yesterday.
When you put more tariffs on the EU, will you respond to their retaliation?
Of course I'm going to respond.
You will retaliate with more tariffs.
The problem is our country didn't respond. Look, the EU was set up in order to take advantage of the United States.
Including Ireland? Is Ireland taking advantage of the US?
Of course they are. I can't, you know, I have great respect for Ireland and what they did. And they should have done just what they did. But the United States shouldn't have let it happen. We had stupid leaders. We had leaders that didn't have a clue. Or let's say they weren't business people, but they didn't have a clue what was happening. And all of a sudden, Ireland has, you know, our pharmaceutical companies and other. This beautiful island of, it's island of 5 million people. Yeah. It's got the entire U.S. pharmaceutical industry in its grasp. And, you know, you mentioned housing and you mentioned other things. I mean, I have property in Ireland, as you know, and I love it. It does great. But I'd like to see the United States not have been so stupid for so many years, not just with Ireland, with everybody.
With everybody, President Donald Trump in the Oval Office yesterday. And joining us now on the line from Brussels is Suzanne Lynch, Associate Editor with Politico, and here in studio, Professor Aidan Regan, Professor of Political Economy in UCD. Suzanne, let's start with you and the view from Brussels on that encounter yesterday, on the day that the tariffs war really kicked up a gear. Was it as good as it gets, or did Micheál Martin let Europe down?
No, I think, people were well aware that Micheál Martin was going to be the first European leader to meet Trump just hours after this kind of tit-for-tat action on trade tariffs. And we do know that Ursula von der Leyen had been in touch with the Taoiseach last weekend, briefing him on issues on trade and as well as broader issues related to the transatlantic relationship. So there was a sense that, you know, Europe, Ireland and any of these individual leaders who are meeting Trump are on the same page. In saying that, I mean, Donald Trump, the clip you played there, has unnerved people here in Brussels in the sense that he has warned that more tariffs are to come. So we had those steel and aluminium tariffs that came in yesterday. The EU promised to hit back. But from April 2nd, Donald Trump has said that further reciprocal tariffs may come in. Now, we're a few weeks away from this. Mm-hmm. And it is important to note that the EU's measures yesterday that they announced won't come in straight away. So there is a possibility, perhaps, for some negotiation now to happen over the next few weeks.
And Aidan Regan, your take on the encounter yesterday. We had Micheál Martin praising President Trump and his search for peace. There was the housing joke. There's been a lot of criticism about that, although Micheál Martin again made further remarks later on about the importance of fixing housing. So how did he walk the diplomatic tightrope?
I thought he walked it very well, actually. He didn't feel the need to intervene that much. It was a very long conversation. I think for the first time, a lot of Irish people probably got exposed to the extent of these things and actually got to listen to Donald Trump elaborate on some of his points. We're so used to getting things in snippets and, mm-hmm. and tweets and so on. And a lot of what he said made a lot of sense, quite frankly. And there was a lot of rationale to his arguments about why he wants to protect US industry. And there was a lot of rationale to his argument on peace, etc. So I could see why Micheál Martin, when he did intervene or did make a contribution, it was largely complimenting and corroborating what Donald Trump was saying. So I think from the Irish state's perspective, it was, it went well for them.
But what was very clear, as you were saying, Suzanne, is President Trump's animosity to the EU. So these trade tariffs, and of course he's in a global trade war, isn't he? It's Canada, mm-hmm. it's China, it's the rest of the world as well. But how much can he hurt the EU? How much can he hurt them? How this plays out in the next few months?
Well, in one way, the EU has a lot of power here in that the EU is a market of 450 million people. So American companies want to be in Europe. Tech companies want to be in Europe. So in that sense, say, compared to Europe's position vis-a-vis Ukraine, where Europe is on the back seat in defence, on trade, this is very comfortable territory for the EU and negotiators. And that's why we saw such a quick reaction yesterday. In saying that, I think now the problem for the EU is, frankly, that there are no conversations, very little conversations happening between the Trump administration and the EU. Instead, they're happening between the Trump administration and various European leaders, like we saw yesterday with Micheál Martin. So that's a problem for Europe. We have no sense, for example, that there's a meeting imminent between Ursula von der Leyen and Donald Trump. We have no sense that Maroš Šefčovič, the trade commissioner, is going to Washington anytime soon, although Michael McGrath, the Irish commissioner, is due in Washington this week. So the issue now is how the EU is going to make its case or try to get the Americans around the table on this. I think the key thing to watch for Ireland particularly, but also other countries, are any tariff on the pharmaceutical industry. That's obviously a major vulnerability for Ireland. Donald Trump, as we heard, specifically mentioned it yesterday. Ireland is not alone on this. You know, Germany, Belgium, Denmark, there are other countries exposed too. But that is a vulnerability. And obviously the automotive industry, and Donald Trump also specifically name-checked cars as well. So an issue for Germany, but also other European countries, Slovakia, etc. So a lot of officials were saying here, look, people are affected in different ways by Washington. So because of that, the EU will continue to try and represent itself en masse rather than just individual countries.
And while President Trump was saying, you know, we don't want to hurt Ireland and I love Ireland and I have property there and I have a great golf course there and all the rest, he's still talking about the pharma and he's still determined to get that back. So he will hurt us, won't he, with his tariffs?
Yes, tariffs and taxes. And we can unpack the two. I mean, tariffs are basically the import tax, if you can think about it that way. But, I mean, it was interesting because Micheál Martin tried to emphasise the bilateral relationship and Irish companies investing in the USA. And Donald Trump, like, listened to that. And then he said, well, you still run a massive, massive trade surplus against us. And that is true. But when you unpack what that means, you see a lot of it is actually just accounting transactions. So Ireland does have a large pharmaceutical sector. Most of the US pharmaceutical companies are based in Ireland. They generate most of their revenue and sales in the US by charging very high prices. But given the nature of the kind of multi-jurisdictional structures that they have, most of their key subsidiaries in terms of cost sharing, IP ownership and contract manufacturing are organised through Ireland. So on the one hand, you have real goods exports coming from Ireland. So 220 billion goods exports, about 100 billion in pharmaceuticals, 50 billion of that goes directly to the US. A large part of that is real, right? And tariffs will affect those, they become more expensive for US consumers. Mm-hmm. But another particularly large component of that, and we don't have the precise figures because we don't have access to the financial accounts, are basically accounting-based exports. And those accounting-based exports could shift back to the US very quickly because instead of booking their profits in Ireland, these companies could book their profits back in the USA by shifting the IP cost-sharing arrangements.
And that would make a big difference to corporation tax receipts.
It would make a huge difference. So I know that most of the focus is on tariffs, but it seems to me that the real effect on Ireland will be when he goes to renegotiate the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act and reduce the headline corporate tax rate and introduce a variety of incentives to get the profits out of Ireland back to the USA. These factories are not going to leave Ireland overnight, but the profits could very quickly shift back to the USA, and that's what I think Ireland is most exposed to.
So for all the conviviality in the White House yesterday, there are not just the economic problems but also the problems of the situation in Ukraine, the war in Ukraine. We've seen Russian President Putin in Kursk. He's still bombing Ukraine. And there was that big defence meeting as well, a European defence meeting going on at the same time yesterday. So how is Europe preparing to go it alone without Trump on Ukraine, Suzanne?
Yeah, I mean, today, actually, Mark Rutte, the NATO Secretary General, he's going to be meeting Donald Trump now today in the Oval Office. So we expect a lot of focus, obviously, on this issue. Now, the defence chiefs were meeting in Paris yesterday and they talked about this idea of the coalition of the willing, of some kind of a European presence or European involvement with any kind of post-ceasefire environment in Ukraine. The problem for a lot of the European military, though, is that it they're not particularly strong. We had a report out this week, for example, about the German military, the army, essentially, and its depleted forces, etc. So, you know, A, will they have the capacity to send peacekeeping forces in? B, do they want to? And the critical issue here is that most countries still want some kind of a US security guarantee. Donald Trump has not committed to that, and that's what people are concerned about. So we expect the NATO chief to raise that today with Donald Trump. Now, whether the Europeans can get more involved with the ceasefire negotiations at this point seems unlikely, because we know that Trump has sent officials are on their way to Moscow. The ball is obviously now in Vladimir Putin's court. But it does seem that no European representative per se will be present at those discussions so far. We saw that earlier in the week with Saudi Arabia, for example. So what the Europeans are trying to do is see how they can get involved in some kind of a engagement with the situation in Ukraine once this ceasefire is agreed, if in fact it is, in the next few days or weeks.
And Aidan Regan, we're only 6 weeks into this second Trump presidency. There's a long way to go. And however convivial yesterday was on Ukraine, on the Middle East, on trade, for all the nice words yesterday, we are pulling in a different direction. Mary Harney once famously spoke about Ireland having close ties with Boston and Berlin. With Trump back in the White House, are we going to have to choose between Boston and Berlin, do you think, sometime soon?
I think there's going to be a bigger trade-off, yes. And Donald Trump and the MAGA movement has made it very clear that it's an America-first policy, industry in America. The whole tariff economists think the tariffs are crazy, but actually there is a logic to what he's trying to do, even if it doesn't work, which is basically get US industry back in the USA. He has a very traditional view of the economy. He has a very traditional view of the global economy. So he said, oh, previous presidents were to blame for losing US industry. No, actually there was a different logic previously. The idea was let your multinationals go globalize the world, go to Ireland, profit shift into Ireland, take over other markets, become international. He's saying, no, we want to suck all that back in and become more American. Ireland, as a highly open, globalized, liberal economy, is going to negatively feel the effects of any kind of nationalist America first economic policy program. So in that case, Ireland is going to have to get closer to the EU in order to generate the conditions for the type of policies that it needs, which is more openness. But that's not the direction of travel with the United States at the moment.
And Suzanne, Micheál Martin was asked yesterday about MIGA, Making Ireland Great Again. Some people saying that whatever the difficulties in the next couple of months, in the next couple of years, what Donald Trump is doing is making Europe great again. It's pulling together in a way it hasn't been able to for a long time.
Well, yes. I mean, there's a phrase that's often used here in Brussels, which is the fact that Europe moves and advances at a time of crisis. We saw that during the Eurozone crisis, for example. So there is a sense now that Europe realises that America is no longer the security guarantor it once was, and that if it wants to defend itself, it's more on its own. So that has spurred this huge debate and advancement in terms of discussions about EU defence. And of course, we saw that proposal by Ursula von der Leyen last week. I do think it's important, though, to stress, obviously, Ireland is a neutral country, but even here, some countries who are members of NATO, not everyone is entirely comfortable with the Commission taking the lead on this, saying, you know, is the European Commission getting out of its lane somewhat? Defence is still a national competency, and it's up to individual countries, Poland, Germany, France, etc., to decide how and if they want to expand their own defence capabilities. So I think that's an interesting dynamic that's going to play out here in the next week or so, particularly as we head to another EU summit next week.
And in terms of MAGA, and you've been explaining, Aidan, how, you know, it makes sense from Donald Trump's point of view and the people who support him. But there is the law of unintended consequences. Mm. These tariffs may not work out as expected. Things could get a lot ropier.
Absolutely. I think Donald Trump, underestimates the extent to which companies today are so multinational. They're global supply chains, they're global wealth chains. You know, goods can cross borders a few different times before the final product lands where it's meant to go. That means you have all sorts of different transactions, all sorts of different accountancies. What he's not making clear is that, and we know this very clearly from the research, tariffs tend to impact low to middle income earners more than anybody else. So what he's doing is effectively imposing a tax on the working class of America, who are going to have to pay those higher prices. His hope, I think, and his team's hope is in the long term, those factories, those jobs move back to the USA, and therefore it's worth it. But whether he'll get the time, whether, you know, you'll get to get a bit of a pushback, whether there's a realization that these tariffs are actually negatively affecting his core base, perhaps in reality, but we know that with Donald Trump, he's in control of the narrative and narratives matter a lot. And he shapes the narrative by making stuff up, quite frankly.
Well, fasten your seatbelts and thank you for your analysis so far. Aidan Regan, Professor of Political Economy in UCD, and Suzanne Lynch, Associate Editor with Politico.